Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. I hope you survived your manic Monday. Definitely was a tumultuous day in the world of sports. And while there's good news, if you look hard enough for it, it was more a gut check for the baseball community and for the teams that have had any recent contact or are supposed to have any contact with the Marlins or the Phillies. What was a 4-person positive outbreak? I don't even know if you can call it an outbreak when it's 4 people. What was a 4-person positive test result on Sunday swelled to 13 by Monday and created a much larger logistical nightmare in terms of a hornet's nest. I mean, we're talking about 13 players that just essentially took down 4 teams, multiple series, and turned into the biggest topic in baseball. 5 days after their restart, no one is paying attention to what's happening on the field. And honestly, it's hard to focus on what's happening in other stadiums around the league where they were actually playing on Monday. Commissioner Rob Manfred did a special sit-down on MLB Network. You'll hear from him momentarily. And here's where we are at this moment on Tuesday morning. We're waiting to hear the results of the testing for the rest of the Marlins, as well as the Phillies. They did play the game on Sunday. And so, if in fact, there were these other players and coaches involved in that game on Sunday who hadn't yet tested positive, the timing itself, it's hard to pinpoint. But if they were out there and they came in contact with the Phillies, well, then there could also be a player or a group of players on the Philadelphia roster who are now going to deal with the virus. Because the Phillies couldn't play and because their visitors' clubhouse had yet to be cleaned, the Yankees were sitting in their hotel rooms as of Monday night, waiting to find out information like the rest of us are. The Orioles were supposed to play the Marlins in Miami. They turned around and went back to Baltimore to await, potentially, the other half of the home-and-home series. So it's supposed to be Miami, Baltimore, 2 games in South Florida, 2 games in Maryland. So it's a mess. And it really did feel like a microcosm of real life in 2020. Because how often in 2020 have we had to sit and wait? Have we lost the ability to engage in some of our favorite activities? And it's not in our control, nor is it any fault of our own. And I don't know where the Marlins initially got the virus. That's the big mystery. They're trying to do contact tracing. They're trying to figure it out. But maybe during their charter flight last week, gosh, if it turns out to be the case, that charter company will not be doing business with Major League Baseball moving forward. And I dare say other sports teams will shun that company as well, if that's the case. But the Marlins are the ones with the outbreak. And yet there's a ripple effect for 1 team, 2 teams, 3 teams, maybe more, depending on how long this goes. We'll give you the latest, the details that we know. If you missed my conversation with Ron Blum, who covers baseball for the AP, he had some real good information. He joined us earlier in the show, and you can find that on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. It wasn't just the Marlins, the Phillies, the Yankees, the Orioles. Sure, that's the pocket. But it was other teams watching, waiting, weighing in, having conversations with their players in their clubhouses. It was the champion manager in Major League Baseball, Davey Martinez, sharing his fears, why he chose to participate in 2020, but admitting very honestly how he feels about it. Ripple effects throughout baseball and honestly throughout the sports world 5 days in. And yet we knew this would happen. We knew this moment would come. We didn't know what it would look like or where it would take place, but we knew teams would encounter positive tests since they're not quarantined. There is no bubble. This is not the NBA or the NHL. And honestly, it's not possible. And that's something else that Rob Manfred talked about. Not possible because of the logistics, but also not possible because the players weren't on board with it. They nixed it early on. So this is the danger. They wanted to play. They didn't want to play in a bubble. Great. Well, then this is an infinite possibility. It's going to be a possibility all the way through the baseball season. The mental picture I had in my mind as I was reading about the extra cases in Miami and the games being postponed and now all the extra testing and the contact tracing, the picture I had is baseball in this grand house. You know, it's beautiful. Lots of glass, gorgeous views, up on the edge of a cliff. It's a house on a bluff. The problem is, you pay a stiff price. There is a risk involved with putting your house on the side of a cliff. Yeah, you can be admired. You can be the envy of all of your friends. You play Major League Baseball. Baseball's back on the field. Yeah, everybody's watching. But boy, a really nasty storm or a landslide and that house could go sliding right off the edge of a cliff. It feels very precarious to me. And the edge of the cliff was the mental picture I had. But honestly, isn't that sports in 2020? Isn't that life in 2020? Maybe not that drastic, but it does feel like that at times. Sports are definitely in a precarious position. Baseball now. But Lou Williams put his teammates and the NBA bubble at risk, or he would have if he had gone back to Orlando without telling the truth. He got found out. He got outed by a photo on social media. Question: do you think Lou Williams was planning on telling NBA security where he had been? Because after all, he was only going to Magic City to get the food. But that's the point. That's why these health and safety protocols are in place, to try to prevent what's happening with the Marlins right now. But it only takes one guy who decides he's going to take matters into his own hand. It only takes one Lou Williams to topple that house off the side of the cliff. That's where it starts, and it may seem harmless, but it's not. Because this is always a possibility with as contagious and as rapidly spread as COVID-19 is, as it's proven to be. And so we wait. Tuesday should bring more news. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Commissioner Rob Manfred, a guest on the MLB Network with Tom Verducci, right away talking about what the Marlins were facing and the ripple effects around Major League Baseball.
Our first concern, obviously, is the health of the players and their families and making sure that we do everything possible to minimize the spread of the virus among our employees. We've been fortunate so far. We've done tens of thousands of tests. Our positive rate has been 0.4%. So we feel like the protocols have worked pretty well. Notwithstanding that fact, we have made some decisions. We're doing some additional testing. If the testing results are acceptable, the Marlins will resume play in Baltimore on Wednesday against the Orioles.
So we're already talking about a couple of missed games for both the Marlins and the Orioles, not to mention we're not as sure when the Phillies and Yankees will be able to get on the field, if they get on the field in this particular series. I mean, it's weird to call it a series when we're talking about two games, but that's the whole point, is that you start to postpone games. Sure, there are opportunities for doubleheaders, but they may not be in the original location. And the season is already so condensed, you really can't have a schedule that is backed up and loaded up with doubleheaders when you're also trying to get teams traveling safely from one place to another. Why? Well, because there are all these tests that have to take place. With travel, it's not just get on the plane, get off the plane, or get on the train, get off the train. No, there's everything else that is surrounding this baseball season. Almost like baseball itself is the last thing on the list. Because you don't get to play baseball if you don't go through all of the other steps. So how did this happen? How did it happen with the Marlins that there's this outbreak 5 days in?
There was testing on Friday, one positive on Saturday, testing again on Saturday, and the three additional positives on Sunday. What then happened under the protocols was we did contact tracing on all four positives. There was a small number of players who met the CDC guidelines. They were quarantined. We ordered additional testing. We did symptom checks. We did temperature checks and decided to proceed with the game on Sunday.
And so the choice was made, according to their guidelines, that they could play on Sunday because it was just a handful of guys, and they felt like tracing their movements with this contact process, that they only needed to sequester this handful of guys. The issue, though, is if it happened, let's say Wednesday during a charter flight. Remember, going back to before the season started, they went from South Florida to Atlanta for an exhibition, and then from Atlanta they went on to Philadelphia. So if, and I'm just speculating here because I don't have any hard and fast information, nobody does right now, if one of the guys contracted the virus with the travel on Wednesday, well, then by the time you do testing on Friday, sure, you may only catch a few, but we know that sometimes it takes the virus a little longer to show up. I mean, it's not an exact science. And so it's frustrating for sure, because we just got the season on the field, and yet the health and safety protocols, which in this case maybe weren't strict enough and should have eclipsed a game on Sunday, they have to be initiated. They've got to shut this game down and shut that game down. And now Marlins quarantine. Philadelphia players, same thing, until they get their test results. Now, the last we heard is that by late Monday night, the Phillies results would come back. Haven't seen anything on social media. We've been looking. So far, no breaking news, no report about whether or not there are Phillies who also have tested positive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The number one question that everybody's asking, are you shutting down the league? Rob Manfred.
Most of the owners realize that we built protocols anticipating that we would have positive tests at some point during the season, that the protocols were built in order to allow us to continue to play through those positives. And I think there was support for the notion that we believe that the protocols are adequate to keep our players safe.
Well, those protocols are under fire and under scrutiny right this second. Yes, it may very well work out exactly the way baseball intends, that they contain it with the Marlins. And as these guys go through more tests, now they have to go through two negative tests before they can be cleared of their quarantine. There's a certain period of time, but until they could travel, these guys are stuck in Philadelphia. It may very well work out that there are no Phillies who test positive, or maybe one or two, so it's not a huge number of guys like it is, well, huge. It's not a half the travel party like it is for the Marlins. The Yankees stay in their hotel. The Orioles are untouched, and baseball moves forward. That's best case scenario. But right now, you can feel the tension around the game. Craig Counsell took the opportunity on Monday to address the Milwaukee Brewers, because again, it's top of mind for all of these guys. This is a gut check moment Monday.
It's obviously a serious situation. I think we held a meeting just kind of regarding, you know, regarding the topic, regarding anything guys wanted to say. And then just also, like, we just have to continually kind of double down on our efforts to be safe.
It's not a bubble. Now, granted, there are responsibilities with the bubble, for sure. Lou Williams didn't uphold his responsibilities. Zion Williamson did. Two examples, opposite end of the spectrum. Zion, anxious to get back to his team, not taking any chances, has gone through the daily testing. Everything's negative. Likely will rejoin practice on Wednesday and will be on the court for the first game on Thursday if they continue down the path they're on. Lou Williams quarantined for 10 days. Be like Zion. Don't be like Lou. And this is certainly an issue, not just for baseball, but for the NFL. And so you heard Dr. Alan Sills, who's the NFL's chief medical officer, kind of echoing what Craig Counsell said. I mean, you've got to take personal responsibility because you're the ones who are making this work.
We've been doing a lot of education, and that will continue to go on because we want people to understand you got to do the appropriate thing when you're away from the facility. And that means, again, wearing a mask, good hand hygiene, staying away from sick people, avoiding public gatherings. So those choices are going to be key to the success of the entire program. And again, it's something that has to stretch over the entire season.
It's interesting because you watch the games and you see guys high-fiving, there's hugging. Maybe not as exuberant or as excited the celebrations as what we would generally see. But there's still guys out there who are breaking these rules, I'm using my air quotations, these rules that have been set up. So it's along the lines of the no spitting, no tobacco, no everything else. They're trying to prevent the spread of bodily fluids, of course. And one of the ways that they want to do that is limit contact. And so there aren't supposed to be any high fives. There aren't supposed to be any hugs. I'm a hugger. I get it. I miss it. But you're seeing guys do it anyway. And so I asked Ron Blum about that. We've got strict discipline that the NFL has set up when players don't follow the rules. The NBA has got strict protocols. Be like Zion. Don't be like Lou. Well, what about Major League Baseball? And his answer was really fascinating, and he made a great point. The players' union is just as powerful as the owners in Major League Baseball. Everything runs through this grievance process. Is baseball really going to send players in front of an arbitrator for a grievance hearing over high fives? Is that really what they're going to spend their time doing? Of course not. They've got bigger fish to fry. But it's up to the players to recognize, hey, there could be a situation where a guy on the other team hasn't yet been tested positive. So he may have it, hasn't tested positive yet, somehow. There are going to be exceptions to every rule. No matter how much you test, obviously. Took 5 days for them to see that in black and white. So just to be uber cautious. And I know it's not natural. It's not natural for me either. I like to hug people. It's been awkward when I've accidentally reached to shake someone's hand as I meet new neighbors and they pull their hands back and I remind myself, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I mean, it's not natural for me. It's not natural for them. But this is how baseball stays on the field. This is how the NFL stays on the field. It sucks. I get it. But you know what? There's a lot of 2020 that's not normal and it sucks. What doesn't suck is being able to play baseball and being able to play football, getting paid for it. So we'll have more from Dr. Alan Sills as well as from Rob Manfred as we move forward. Also, you have to hear what Davey Martinez said on Monday. He's honest. He admits this was a really tough decision for him. And now that it's staring him in the face, his emotions are raw and they're real.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swing and a high fly ball left center field. This is going to drive in Ciarte back. He's looking up into the rings. He lost sight of the ball because it's in the seats. Hunter Renfroe, who had 33 home runs a season ago, barrels one up for the first time as a Ray.
deep towards left center field. Enciarte turns and looks. Gone! A line drive home run by Hunter Renfroe, and the Rays have reached double digits. They lead 10-1.
It was a good offensive night, probably much needed. We were confident we were going to be fine, but it was a quiet weekend. We were fortunate to come away winning two of those ball games with the bats kind of firing up late in two of the games. But today was nice to put up a big number, big crooked number.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We have to get back into the groove, but the player of the week brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a look at, after we heard from the one who got it done, and for this week, Hunter Renfroe, right fielder for the Tampa Bay Rays, who are currently 3-1. What a Monday for him. 3-for-5 with 4 RBI, 2 home runs. His first 2 of the season, you heard them there on the Rays radio network. And he was part of a power surge for Tampa Bay against mostly Mike Foltynewicz, though not completely. But the Braves starter was not really DFA'd, but was... because there's no place to go, right? You can't be designated for assignment right now, but was essentially cut from the major league club by the Braves following his performance. But the Rays piled on, and they're in a groove right now. 14 runs on 13 hits, also a couple of errors. So the Braves not playing well in their second series. But for Hunter Renfroe, it's a huge deal. And the Rays, considering what they did last year and how they're constantly in flux, they really are. I mean, they have a lot of players that go through. They're constantly looking for young talent, and it seems like a lot of their star talent wound up leaving. But they've got guys who are extremely talented there as well. And it always seems like they pull together. Maybe it's about not getting the attention that some of their other teams in the AL East get. But for Hunter Renfroe, a good start to this first season, or this first series, I should say. And I'm excited to see what they do, because they're constantly a team that flies under the radar. There are multiple clubs in baseball who are just sitting on one loss, Tampa Bay being one of those, the Chicago Cubs being another one. I'm not going to mention them all, but there is no undefeated team to this point in Major League Baseball. The player of the week sponsored by Grainger. Congrats, Hunter. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and a whole lot more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. So baseball is moving forward. Commissioner Rob Manfred indicated they're not planning on shutting down the league. In fact, it's not even a consideration because of what's happened with the Marlins, though. Tuesday becomes a critical day as we wait for the news. And it's not as though other teams around baseball are not also having these positive test results. The Reds had a couple of guys that couldn't play against Chicago on Monday because they have been tested positive, or they did test positive for the virus. And so it's everywhere. What can't happen, though, is multiple teams at the same time having these many outbreaks where, again, it's a ripple effect. It's not just their clubhouse. It's the team they're supposed to be playing. Then it's the team that's following them into that visitor's clubhouse. And then it's that team's opponent. And so there's a lot. There's a lot to consider. And the ripple effects are far-reaching. In a season with only 60 games, in a league with only 30 teams. I mean, this affected 4 teams at its basis level on Monday. But 4 out of 30, when you're only playing 60 games, I mean, that's rough. It's the type of ripple effects that baseball couldn't withstand if it was happening every week, because you run into these scheduling nightmares. And I use that word on purpose, because the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has indicated this is not a nightmare for Major League Baseball. Nightmare would, of course, be shutting it down. Nightmare would be not even getting to the postseason, where they would make most of their money back. The nightmare is not having one team with a bunch of players. But still, it created a whole lot of uncertainty. And I think some honest conversations around baseball, like Davey Martinez, the manager of the World Series champion Nationals, who did play yesterday. But they're in the Northeast. They're not that far from these other teams of Philadelphia. And of course, they're a team that also has to think about their travels coming up and what's next for them and how this could so easily turn into a problem for them too. And Davey Martinez chose to manage this year despite having a heart condition and recently having surgery. And he says, too often I'm putting other people before myself, but he's honest about his emotions.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm scared. I mean, I really am, you know. So I go from here, home, back here every day. That's all I do. I wash my hands. I went from 47 times a day to probably 99 times a day. Wear my mask everywhere I go. So, I mean, but, you know, there's always, you know, there's that concern, you know.
Yeah. Martinez speaks to a lot of people, and a lot of people have those same emotions. There are always concerns. There are always risks. I admire him. I admire the others who now have to push forward despite the uncertainty. And that's what 2020 is all about. And somehow focus on baseball. And if you're just interested in the baseball, I don't know how you do it. It almost felt like the baseball was secondary on Monday, but we do have some pretty cool series coming up if you're interested. So the Houston Astros actually have a series against the Dodgers that begins national TV. It's FS1 starting on Tuesday evening. And this to me is fascinating. Now, there aren't fans in the stands, and this one's actually going to be at Minute Maid Park in Houston, so you don't even have the cardboard cutouts that the Dodgers have at Chavez Ravine. But a really intriguing matchup if you consider what happened in 2017 and the cheating scandal. And the Dodgers are now going to be on Houston's turf. We know there's bad blood there. So I hope it gets highlighted. I hope that we can actually find room for the baseball, but definitely on Monday, baseball moved to the back burner. It wasn't the number one story. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Let's see, still ahead, Joe Douglas wants you to know he never promised Jamal Adams a new contract. And Dr. Alan Sills, who has the job of trying to navigate the start of the NFL and its training camps in the midst of what every other sport is facing. So it's not going away, but if this is what it takes to get baseball and football, I say we can deal. Although many of you are not feeling quite so optimistic on this Tuesday morning.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Three balls, no strikes, the pitch. Alonso hammers one toward the left field corner, headed for the monster, and it's gone. A home run for Pete Alonso. It was a straight line drive, and it just barely got above the green monster in left field as Pete Alonso finally gets that first home run of 2020.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rookie of the year, Pete Alonso, not quite picking up where he left off. It took a few games, but it was fun to see him hit a home run for the New York Mets on Monday. The call with Wayne Randazzo on the Mets Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, to get any games on the field on Monday to me felt like an accomplishment, a bit of a relief. Not that I expected baseball to shut down, only that it was secondary. What we saw on the field, Anthony Rizzo hitting his third home run, Hunter Renfro going deep twice, the 14 runs scored by the Rays, and some big time offensive numbers. Even the news about Corey Kluber having to be shut down for 4 weeks. All of that really was relegated to the back burner, which I sometimes use on my stove. But in light of what was happening with the Marlins and the Phillies, the Orioles, the Yankees, there wasn't as much attention on the baseball. And that's just reality. We're doing real life. We're living real life. We're working. We're spending time with family. We're taking care of the people in our lives. We're doing yard work. We're cooking, whatever else that we're doing. But a lot of it is through the lens of the virus. And very often it becomes secondary. The real life that we're living is kind of taking a back seat to what's happening in our greater society and really around the globe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And it's on top of what Geico can already save you. No need to wait. Head to geico.com to learn more. I mean, Rob Manfred is waiting, just like, well, maybe he knows by now, but the rest of us are waiting to find out what's going on with the Marlins, the Phillies. But they had the option of being inside a bubble, and they chose not to. Remember, the players were really vocally opposed to having a bubble, and so baseball had no choice. This was next best option.
The decision that we made with respect to the bubble was the right one. We're different than other sports. We would have had to have multiple locations probably just in order to have enough facilities to make it work. The numbers of people involved and the numbers of people to support the number of players was much, much larger in our sport. The duration would have been much longer. And the longer you go, the more people you have, the less likely it is that you can make the bubble work. You know, I think the NBA and the NHL have an advantage, smaller numbers of players, shorter period of time. And I understand why they did what they did. I'm just not sure it was workable for us.
In addition to that, the players were not interested even a little bit. But he's right. The numbers for them are so much greater than what you get with basketball or hockey. And you don't even have all the players who are returning and restarting their seasons. As for the NFL, they're not doing the bubble either. And so their process is one in which they're laying out all these health and safety protocols, all these guidelines. They're threatening players with loss of money. Again, Lou Williams could be the poster child. He's standing to lose $150,000 at minimum with this 10-day quarantine. But similar to Major League Baseball, the NBA, and these other sports, the NFL also has to go the private route. Here's the chief medical officer for the NFL, Dr. Alan Sills.
We didn't want our teams to have to go to their local hospitals and ask for testing or interfere with the healthcare facilities in any way. So we brought in this company that will have a completely separate testing program. And we can say with confidence that not only are we not negatively impacting those communities, we're not negatively impacting the rest of the country.
And so if you look at it through the eyes of these professional leagues, they have the money to throw at the problem. Remember, the NBA is spending $150 million to make the bubble work, to create the bubble. Now, some of that is about the creature comforts. Some of that is about the hotels and the lodging. But some of that is also about the money they're paying for testing. The same thing with Major League Baseball. And there were some kinks to work out at the beginning. Let's be honest. You had multiple teams that shut down workouts during summer camp because the testing results weren't available right away. But what else? Alan Sills is saying, and what these other leagues are saying, is we're paying for this on the side. So it's not taking away from American citizens who are waiting on their testing results. You may or may not believe that's the case, but because the NFL can pay for it, because the NBA can pay for it, they choose to go the private route because it's critical. They can't be waiting 3 days, 4 days to get testing. They need the rapid results. Jim on Facebook, MLB is allowing players to live at home and to travel in their region. No bubble. Of course, there'll be COVID. The expanded teams rosters are created for this exact situation. Yeah, they're called taxi squads. And sure, they help if there's one or two players who come down with the virus. But in the case of the Marlins, where you're talking about at least 11 players, I mean, that's something completely different. But yes, they've created all kinds of safety nets and guidelines that would prevent baseball from having to shut down the entire schedule as opposed to one or two games. And it felt very precarious on Monday, and different managers and players were talking about it. I don't know that that part goes away. Even if we don't have the same gut punch on Tuesday, the prevalent nature of the virus and the fact that it's everywhere, and I don't mean the virus itself, but the talk of the virus and the concerns over the virus, the testing, having to be aware of where you go and what you do. No, I was invited to, gosh, I don't remember exactly what it was. I went to a pool party, that for sure, on July 4th. But I got invited. Oh, I remember. A friend invited me to go boating with her and a bunch of other people that I don't know, just friends and cousins and neighbors and whatever else. And it was a pontoon boat. There were going to be a lot of people on it, but you know, a pontoon boat, you're together in relatively close quarters, especially if there are, let's say, 10 people. I don't exactly know how big this particular boat was, but she asked me to go. And I said to her, I can't. I'm comfortable with you. We I've spent time with her. We've walked, in fact, she went to the beach with me last week. And so I don't have any issues spending time with her specifically. But having the responsibility of coming back to CBS Sports Radio headquarters, I can't take the chance. I can't take that extra risk because one positive test and I'm back working from home and may not be able to return to the studio. And so there are risks that come along with being out of your home and out of your bubble and working at your office, or in this case, at a field, the court, the ice, whatever it is. But with the extra risk comes the extra responsibility. And there are guys who take it seriously. There are guys who are not. But as I say, I think Lou Williams is the cautionary tale. You're going to get caught. There are going to be people, if they don't call the snitch line, well, then you're going to get found out by somebody's post on social media, la, 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 la. And the leagues are really vigilant in making sure that the protocols are followed. And I highly doubt there are many who are going to get away with it if they try. They try not to. There are just too many ways that they can get caught. The truth always finds you out. The truth always comes to light. It may take a little while, but it comes to light eventually. Let's talk to Bill, who's in Houston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm here.
You're welcome.
Normal, I guess, watching the Astros last night. Since the players are not in the bubble and they go home to their families and their families are doing their own thing, where I work, I'm required to wear a mask 100% of the time at work.
Mm-hmm.
But I do go home at night. And my family does, my family is out doing their things too. So the players, I saw one player wearing a mask on the field, but most didn't. So the virus is going to be spread just during the games if there's anybody that that happens to be positive and could be contagious. So, I think it's just a matter of time till they have a more widespread, more situations like you just described with the Marlins or the Phillies, right?
Well, maybe, but that's the point of the testing. I mean, that's the whole point of the testing. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that it worked. Now, we don't know yet about the Phillies, but that they had the four players on Sunday that were pulled from the game. They went ahead, they played the game, and then, of course, they had other players that tested positive. So therein lies the concern for the Phillies, of course. But let's say that by postponing these games and quarantining these guys, they limit it to one team or to a couple players on another team. Well, then the protocols did exactly what they were supposed to do.
I had just a question for you. The Astros and the Dodgers, when they play, we were just talking last night. We do expect to see players talking to each other, maybe mm-hmm. throwing a pitch at each other. But do the bench-clearing brawls and all the activities that surround these teams that have bad blood, isn't that driven a little bit by the crowds in the stands?
Well, it is A. B, these guys are already not supposed to be making any contact as much as possible. And yes, you're right. They're talking at first base. They're talking at third base. Kind of funny. I actually saw one guy rounding third on a home run trot, and he went to give a high five, or I guess it was a low five, to his third base coach, and then they both pulled back their hands at the last second. So it may seem like they're not following any type of protocols, and the masks are not required when they're on the field, though some guys are wearing them for sure. But I don't think that in any way that these guys would be that, that out of, out of mind that they would forget about the virus and do anything like that. In fact, I don't think you're going to see the bad blood manifest. I do believe it's there. I don't know how chatty and how friendly they'll be when they're facing each other. But yes, the atmosphere will not be as supercharged. And also, it's secondary now to everything that's going on. I don't know if the Astros could have drawn this up any better, that their cheating scandal, they're banging on trash cans, all of that. it's not forgotten, but it's almost like you look stupid for bringing it up in light of everything else that's going on. Not you, just, I mean, you and as a group, not you specifically.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Bill. Have a great day in Houston. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, it's weird to even think about where we were in mid-February, in early March, when spring training was going on. And even at spring training games, where usually there aren't many fans, in fact, it's kind of a training ground for what we're seeing now in Major League Baseball, but there were guys who were getting heckled. The Astros were answering, I mean, hourly questions about the cheating scandal and about the distractions and about moving forward and about their manager and their general manager and about whether or not they were wearing whistles or bells or buzzers when they were rounding third base in a home run try. I mean, the whole thing was so surreal and just it had taken on a life of its own. And now here we are like it didn't happen. It did happen. But when was the last time you heard a conversation about whether or not the Astros should keep their 2017 World Series title? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jamal Adams is now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll is thrilled. In fact, he's bubbling over about adding talent like Adams and that it was worth giving away those number one picks.
We've been drafted, you know, in the low 20s and the, you know, 30s or something forever, and that pick has never allowed us that kind of opportunity. So if we were in the draft, Pat, and we're sitting there in on draft day and we see a guy up there on the board that we, you know, we covet, we got to do whatever we can to get him, then what would it take to get up there? And, you know, he was picked sixth or fifth or whatever the heck it was, you know. So you would probably take a number one. It might, and it'd probably take something else. And just, shoot, we can get this guy to play on our team right now.
Pete Carroll, as always, the master of enthusiasm on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And so he says, hey, in light of where we normally pick in the draft, it's not a... He didn't lessen the impact of two number one picks, but only that they aren't likely to get a player at the top of the draft like Jamal Adams, who was selected number six in 2017. As for Joe Douglas, the general manager of the Jets, he made it very clear on Monday he never told Jamal that a new contract was forthcoming and that they weren't planning on doing that. And actually, the Seahawks aren't either. And so Jamal is still in a situation where he's playing under his rookie deal and doesn't have a new contract yet. But if this is what he wanted, well, it worked to perfection. All right, so we're going to wait for those results from Philadelphia. We'll see what happens next. These ripple effects with the Marlins. We're back for our hump show tonight. Have a great Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.